In 1955, the Swiss-born photographer Robert Frank set out to document life in the United States during a road trip across the country. The results of his photographic journey were published here in 1959 in a book called The Americans, about which Jack Kerouac raved, the humor, the sadness, the everythingness and Americanness of these pictures. To celebrate the 50th anniversary of this groundbreaking work, the Metropolitan Museum of Art is exhibiting the original photos, plus some earlier work, under the title Looking In, Robert Frank's The Americans. It's on view now through January 3rd, and I'm honored that it has brought Robert Frank to our show today, along with Jeff Rosenheim, curator in the Met's Department of Photographs. Welcome to our show. And Jeff, let's begin with you. The exhibition also includes photographs from trips to Peru and Europe. How do these pictures add to our appreciation of what we see in The Americans?
Sure. Well, The Americans didn't begin Robert Frank's work in photography, and the curator has decided, for good reasons, to start at the beginning. So we have pictures from basically from 47 to 53 that show how Robert worked, what his subject was, and how he developed his style.
And they're organized thematically. Did you, Robert, always organize your photographs thematically? Did you think of them that way when you were looking at your negatives?
Well, it comes naturally. I mean, you do a trip, and then you develop the negatives, and you make your prints. And then whatever happens to them later, they come up in an exhibition or what, and then
you think this picture should go with this picture?
Well, it's somehow like an echo then. It's because of time passes and the trip is long gone.
Now, were these photographs intended to be published as a book, or did you want to exhibit them?
Well, it's the American trip. I wanted a book. I mean, this was the object of that. And I got the Guggenheim Fellowship because I said I would make a book. And so that was the only time that was the real reason to put it together and to insist on a book and exhibition.
Does viewing the photographs, Jeff, in a museum exhibition change them, do you think?
Well, it certainly allows people to experience them in a different way than in a publication. I think most visitors to the Met show will see the trajectory of Robert's career up and through The Americans. And what's great is that you get to experience them in the sequence that Robert established, and also the way you would in a book to revisit things and to go backwards.
Well, in a book you have two pictures shown side by side.
You
can. In the museum, you're going on a longer length down a wall. So you see those two pictures, and then you see the next picture, and you can always go back a couple of pictures. There is something different about that experience, isn't there? Was it any kind of revelation for you? Have you ever seen them hung this way before, Robert?
Well, I've seen other the same exhibition, but they always look different because of the place. And this is a very complete exhibition. It's a very big one. So, it certainly is different than looking at the book, which is the book is, for me, it's more important than an exhibition because it lasts so long and it's there. Yeah. Mm.
In your books, Mary's Book and Black, White, and Things, both of which were made before The Americans, you had a quotation from Saint-Exupéry. It's only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. What are you trying to tell us about how you go about photographing with that quote?
Well, to me, it contained a truth I was always after. I mean, that the photograph would be true and it would reveal something that you had to think about it. I said I'd like it in a photograph that people would look at it twice, similar to reading poetry and repeating it. So sometimes you succeed in a few photographs or a story.
Well, all of these photographs seem to succeed for me. Life was one of the most popular magazines at the time. Were you thinking about the kinds of pictures that were being published in Life when you were doing this?
Well, it was very different then for me. What mattered is you wanted one picture that would be very strong and that you could get published. And it was very different then. And in the course of your career, you become more successful and you are not satisfied with one or two pictures. You want a book, really. And that's I think, what the most you can achieve, really, is to have a book published.
Well, Life did publish these photo essays, but, Jeff, they were trying to tell us a different thing, weren't they?
Well, they were trying to reveal the meaning of the picture in a very straightforward way. And I think what Robert's achievement with the camera was a profound one, which is that the story is larger and that it's more complicated and that there is truth in the way the picture is made. It's not just subject. It's emotion. It's making pictures from the heart. And it's revealing the conditions in which the artist was working, not just the outer conditions of the street.
There are also contradictions, and that's part of what makes them so exciting. Not everything is just telling us one kind of a thing. My guests are Robert Frank, who's the subject of a new exhibit at the Metropolitan Museum called Looking In, Robert Frank's The Americans, on view through January 3rd. Also with us is Jeff Rosenheim, curator in the Met's Department of Photographs and the person who has organized the exhibit at the Met. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. You said that you applied for a Guggenheim Fellowship to photograph what became the Americans. What did you tell them? Did you say that you just wanted to go and capture the essence of the United States?
Well, I just said I wanted to photograph everything in America. I wanted to take a trip through America and reveal the beauty and reveal how people live. And so it was actually Walker Evans helped me to write it out nice and neat. And I was very serious about the project. It meant a lot to me, and I knew it could not be, I would not repeat it, that this was my chance to make a complete work that would last.
Well, Jeff, these photographs have some kind of kinship to Walker Evans, but they are not the same, even though I could imagine the two photographers standing side by side and photographing something.
Well, I think that what Robert did was he took a small camera on the road. Evans was most well known for his view camera photographs that required a tripod, and I think Evans liked to be on one side of the street and looking at what was happening on the opposite side, and Robert can tell us otherwise, but I think he liked to be at elbow's distance from his subjects. He liked to be so close that we can feel it and what that means. And Evans liked to look at it from afar.
Well, I have a different opinion. I thought Evans looked at something very, very clear, and it was sharp, and it was that way, and only how he would see it and put it.
Everything had to be in focus in the picture.
Yeah, and he knew exactly what he wanted and how to get it. And for me, it was more a trip that went on very quick and had to be captured any which way, whether it was correct or sharp or whatever. So
you didn't always worry about focusing, and you just took the pictures that worked out best?
Yeah, I had to be very quick, so you can pre-focus or be ready for anything. And so often the pictures are not really sharp, and they are. You had to be just quick and could turn around, sort of. You had to know somehow what was happening in the back of you.
You also, I assume, were overexposing because it's better to overexpose and then find all the details in the printing than to underexpose and not have the details.
Very true. That's often the negatives were like that.
Because some of the we see some of your contact sheets, and some of the images look pretty dark.
Yeah, well, they're very hard to look at, the contact sheets, because also I didn't print them very carefully. So, but I was more interested to really get the picture than having a correct exposure. I knew I could save the negative no matter what.
Were other people photographing like that? You get very close. In one of the pictures, one that I think that the wall text says is your favorite, there's a couple sitting in the grass, I think it was in San Francisco, right. And the man is turning and looking at you like, "Get at, what are you doing?"
Well, he felt that somebody was in the back of him, and he looked back and he was... You know, I felt like a spy. It was a man and a woman. And that was a very decisive moment for me. I mean, you experience it often in a photograph, but this one was sort of classic because it was the couple and I had time to look at them and I knew it would happen. But
you never said to somebody, "Can I take your picture?"
No. At this point, when he looked back, I just turned around and photographed the other side. Towards the other side, so that calms people down when you not keep the lens at them, looking at them.
Is it different than when you were doing the series of pictures of miners and whales because you live with those people?
Yeah, it's very different. That was a reportage, and I knew the man, and so he was got used to me photographing him. That's very different.
And there you were just trying to reveal what Ben James's life was like.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what were you trying to reveal about America at the time? We're talking about 1955, 1956, a time that, at least if you speak to historians, is a boom time in America, but also a time when McCarthyism is the thing that most people are discussing politically. There was the fear of communism, the Cold War. Was on most people's minds. I remember in school we had to get under our seats and protect ourselves against nuclear attack.
Yeah, I remember that. But
well, you were a little older than I. But were you trying to capture that sense of America?
No. I was really just after the portrait of the people. The people, how they looked, how they, you know, it was... It's more like a film in a way, the way I moved. I wouldn't stay in a place. I would move on.
And did each state have a different sense? Did they have different personalities?
Well, it was just a work day. You got up and you went out and you hunted down the people, you know, that interested you. You had to be really quick and it was work.
Well, did you have a route planned out for your trip? Were there places you knew you wanted to go?
Yeah, there was a trip to Butte, Montana, and a trip to Detroit, where I got permission to photograph at Ford factory. That was really the only time I sort of worked like a reporter. There was always a guy next to me, and... I followed really then my intuition, you know, where to go, to the left or the right, north or what. And about America and about Americans.
How much did you know about the pictures when you shot them? Were you surprised when you looked at your contact sheets and
you
discovered what
you'd done? As a photographer, you have a pretty good idea when you get good pictures or it was a good day. You knew pretty well how it would come out.
My guest is Robert Frank, who is the subject of a new exhibit at the Metropolitan Museum called Looking In, Robert Frank's The Americans. It will be up through January 3rd. Also with us is Jeff Rosenheim, curator of the Met's Department of Photographs, and we will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We're back with Robert Frank, whose photographs are now on exhibit at the Metropolitan Museum, whose photographs from a certain period of his life anyway, called Looking In, Robert Frank's The Americans. Also with us is Jeff Rosenheim, curator of the Metz Department of Photographs. And we have a slideshow of some of the photographs from the exhibition on our show page at WNYC.org. There's also an exhibit of some of the photographs that appear before the Americans and some other ones, portraits of people and such, at the Robert Mann Gallery. That's your regular gallery, isn't it, Robert?
No. I know that it's in New York, but I haven't seen the show.
Have you seen that show?
No, I have not.
Meanwhile, we have...
It just opened.
It's interesting to look at the original publication of The Americans, which was a fairly modestly sized book, and then to look at the catalog for this exhibit, which is huge, because there's a lot more text, and also because the pictures are printed bigger. It's important to see these pictures large, isn't it?
I don't think so. I'm very happy with the small size of the book, and also it's affordable to more people.
Mm-hmm. It was first published in France. Why wasn't it published in this country?
I couldn't find a publisher until Grove Press published it in a very small edition. It's very... And he published it only because he got the sheets from France, and so it was not so expensive to print it.
Mm-hmm. He didn't have to do all of the engravings.
He got the sheets, and that's how Kerouac's foreword came in.
Because Kerouac was publishing with Grove Press at the
yes.
time. And did that lead to your connection to some of the Beats later? Because you... you made, Pull My Daisy with a whole bunch of Beats in your cast.
Yeah. I forgot now the chronological way, but it certainly helped them.
Now, Jeff, you've done research for the exhibit, and there is a full text on the walls and in this book. Why was there resistance to publishing this book in the United States? This is... did nobody recognize that this was great art?
Well, I think there was an honesty in the pictures and something quite different than journalism in the images. And I think that Robert was working within a structure at the time in the 50s when photographs had to be particularly clear, as Robert said, and had to reveal their meaning in a specific way. And I think what's great about The Americans is that it's not just the individual pictures, but the sequence, and also the choice of subject and the methodology, the style.
Well, let's talk about the choice of subject. Did some people see this as being critical of life in America at the time?
I think many people thought it was critical in a negative way as opposed to just observational. And I think that the photographers actually were some of the harshest of the critics.
But hadn't Walker Evans and Dorothea Lange and any number of other photographers revealed some of the more awful aspects of class and race in the United States by this time?
Well, they certainly had, and I think Robert can reveal it himself. But Evans wrote a very positive commentary, and one of the things he said was that the pictures had irony in them, which is something that Americans don't really appreciate, and that was probably one strike against them. But also, I think that the time was not right, and for that kind of honesty, but soon, within a decade, things had changed.
Were they upset because you were not American born? Did they see this as a foreigner criticizing America?
Rarely. I read maybe some, but I don't think this entered the picture. That's just... They weren't used to a view like that because they looked at Life magazine. That was the photojournalism that was very strong and set the tone.
But 10 years later, when people recognized that this was a great work of art, you had already moved on.
Well, I moved on to
making films.
And
But you said earlier that you kind of thought of this project almost as making films. So was... In your mind, were you always a filmmaker on some level?
Well, after I made The Americans, the question was whether I would repeat somehow what I was doing, and I didn't want to repeat, and the next step was films, and I tried that for several years, and just, you know, some success.
You also did some photographs in the subway that you never published, did you? Even though I've heard that they're fabulous.
Well, that's 50 years ago, so I don't remember really photographing much in the subway. But when one looks at the contact sheets, lots of stuff comes up that you think maybe would be good to enlarge now, but I don't go back to my contact sheets.
Because I have spoken to photographers who've, because they were doing retrospectives, have gone back to the original contact sheets, and they've said, gee, that image that I thought was absolutely boring now strikes me as maybe the best thing I shot that day. And the one that I thought was really great that I got all that attention for, that looks too obvious to me. Does that happen to you?
No, I don't feel that. When I go and look at the contact sheets, I think I made the right choice then, and I wouldn't change.
Robert was very patient, and he spent many, many months, maybe a year, working through the 27,000 frames to select the 1,000 to print, to select the 100 to edit down from, to get the 83 in the book. Few photographers today have that luxury of time or are willing to give themselves that freedom. And I think one of the successes of the book is that time that Robert spent understanding what he had done and editing.
Did you feel that you needed to defend the book when it was first published and criticized?
No, I felt often I said criticism can have also love in it. It's not a matter of hate, and I said to people didn't understand really that it had intuition in the photographs, and it had an understanding of my neighbors.
Well, in light of what's followed, the America of these photographs sometimes seems a bit innocent. But you may have been the first one to touch on some of these themes that now seem just a normal part of American life. Some of the scenes of racial inequity, the religious scenes, way, to a large degree, this is the way many Americans were living, but nobody seemed to be noticing. Except, I guess, until The Americans was published.
Well, I think it's the intuition of a photographer, the time he lives in. If he has, if he can work freely and is not bothered by a newspaper or a magazine behind him that expects captions, and I was really free to follow my intuition.
Why have you resisted exhibiting these photographs until now?
I'm not aware of that I have resisted it.
Well, has there been another exhibit that you know of? I know this exhibit was in Washington before it came
right
here.
It's been traveling. We're in the third of the three venues. I think the question was, why hasn't there before been a show of the complete series in your hometown before? I think that was...
That wasn't your decision?
I don't think so. I mean, I gave all the work to the National Gallery, and from then on I was free. I didn't have to think about it, and I let it go.
The pictures are varying size. Why is that? If it was being done for a book, why are some of these pictures much larger than others?
Well, in the exhibition, they were collected all over the country, and curator went all around to find the best prints, because I don't make prints anymore, so they're different sizes.
So many prints were made at the time?
Yeah, many of the best prints were made at the time, when I worked in the darkroom, yeah.
One of the surprises, I think, for all of us was the quality of the prints, the beauty. We live in a time of digital photography, and there's so much. We talk about maybe some of the images are not as sharp because the focus of the camera, but there's a beauty in the description and the tonality, the color, if you will, of the black and white is extraordinary. And the scale difference makes the approach that we all have when we enter the exhibition galleries quite lively and surprising.
We should not give the impression that these are a bunch of blurry photographs. These are not blurry photographs. It just, and usually something in the picture, something really important, is in total focus. It's that not everything from corner to corner is in perfect focus.
Well, some of these pictures took very great care to print, and many prints were made until I was satisfied with one or two good ones, and those are the ones you still see. So today it's different. It's digital photography.
Weren't you arrested during this trip?
It happened, I think, once or twice in
For what?
Arkansas.
What reason?
Suspicion.
Suspicion of what? Taking pictures?
Well, it was a different time then. You know, it was in a remote place at Arkansas, and, you know, probably had nothing better to do than looking for somebody, the patrol car. And they just asked me what I do, and they didn't know what Guggen. I said I work for the Guggenheim Foundation, so that was a strange name for them. And it was embarrassing how you know, I forgot the name. How little people in the capacity of police would know. But I think that changed now, but then it was really primitive.
But it must have been an awful experience for you. Or was that part of the whole experience of doing the series? Hey, I spent a couple of nights in prison.
Well, then I was young and, you know, now it would affect me very differently, but it was a scary experience. But
you were doing this all on your own? You didn't take your family?
No, I was alone traveling, yeah.
Because would it have been possible? You did, earlier photographs do have, are of you traveling with your family.
I travel in parts with the family, but then I sent them back, and it was too complicated. It was two children, and one was a baby to travel and to work.
A listener called in, wanted to know how you got, access to the African-American funeral that you photographed in South Carolina. Did you just show up at the funeral?
I just passed by and I saw the line of cars, and then I went to see what it was. It was a big funeral. Actually, the undertaker died, and so it was a very big funeral. And at that time of the day, there was no question. They were, I think, quite happy that somebody came and photographed that important person at his funeral.
Did your experience making the Americans change your view of the country? Did it change the way you thought about photographing?
No. I learned as I was on the trip, I learned how to photograph and to...
Even though you had done so much work before, you were still learning how to take photographs?
Well, that was a big trip. That was the big trip, so I guess I was at the real power of the way I could handle the camera and do it right. And I photographed every day, which is good training.
And then you made films. There was Pull My Daisy, which is a classic, but you've done a whole bunch of films, including a documentary about the Rolling Stones.
That's right.
What drew you to that?
That was another trip, which is quite different than, what did get me into that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they asked me because I did a record cover for them, and then they got to know me a little bit, and they said, why don't you do a film as long as you don't have a big group with you? And I did it with a friend of mine, Danny Seymour. So we stayed with them for many weeks, four weeks.
Were they pleased with the final product?
Were they what?
Pleased? How did they react to the film?
Well, I showed it to both of them, and Keith Richards thought that it was good, and Jagger said, well, I didn't see myself like that. And no, actually, he said, why did you pay more attention to Keith Richards than to me? That's actually what he said, yeah.
Somehow I'm not surprised. You also are showing a short film that Robert made, about his photographs, called Moving Pictures, as part of this exhibit.
Yeah, we're really pleased to be able to show virtually everything that Robert did with in film and in video. And
you have contact sheets here as well.
Exactly. And I think that visitors will be able to see the photographs and understand Robert's application of his ideas in motion pictures. And it's a rare opportunity, certainly here in New York, for people to see both aspects of his output.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, based on my own experience looking at the exhibit, that different people experience it differently, that the serious photographers are looking at every contact sheet because I saw people going over them, and then the rest of us just want to experience this wonderful sequence of pictures. Each chapter, did you think of them as chapters, starting off with a shot that involves the American flag?
That's right. I didn't think of it as chapters, but, you know, you have to organize your photographs, so I thought that was a good way to organize them, four times showing the American flag.
And then you start off with the American flag and some subject, and then that sets off a theme. And the juxtapositions are really important here. I mean, there are photographers who just show pictures in the order that they took them, or...
No, this was carefully, I selected and thought a long time about to pin them up on the wall and see how they sort of moved along, just like a film, you know.
And that's the way we experienced them at the exhibit, which I'm sure was something you thought a lot about, Jeff, when you were putting the show up.
Yeah, most times we don't get to have a structure already there that we have to follow, we have to make sense of it. But in this case, we were able to just follow Robert's own sequence, and the meaning is there.
There's a slideshow of photographs from the Americans on our show page at WNYC.org. The exhibition, Looking In, Robert Franks, the Americans, is on view at the Metropolitan Museum of Art through January 3rd, and there are a number of public programs at the museum, an exhibition of Robert Franks' photographs at the Robert Mann Gallery in Chelsea, and a documentary at Film Forum. For more information, you can visit our show page at WNYC.org. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you.
On tomorrow's show, Pulitzer Prize-winning author Taylor Branch discusses his new book, The Clinton Tapes. And yes, it's the book that describes a late-night drunken pizza run by Boris Yeltsin. And then we speak with two curators from the Guggenheim Museum about a new retrospective of the work of abstract art pioneer Vasily Kandinsky. Also, former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright on her career and how she used decorative pins to make diplomatic statements. Plus, we look at how our networks of friends can influence almost everything about our personality, from our politics to our health habits to our emotions. The Leonard Lopate Show is produced by Blakeney Schick, Stephen Valentino, and Julia Corcoran. Melissa Egan is the executive producer, and we had help today from Drew Katchen and Stephanie Bernhardt. Debbie Fountain was at the audio controls. I'm Leonard Lopate, your host. Thanks for listening. We will see you tomorrow.